Welcome in to an NFL Picks edition of Pick Aside. Shane Orling, Tyler Aki, with you as always. Remember, if you're watching us on YouTube, leave a comment, like, subscribe to the channel. Anywhere you get your podcasts, please rate, review, subscribe. It does genuinely help us out. If you like the content that we put out there, and it is for F-R-E-E, please help us out. Look, we know we're not going to bat 1,000 on picks, but we're trying to have a good time, make it entertaining. It's an entertainment product. Nobody's going to get rich tailing our plays. Certainly last year I lost money, but this year off to a pretty good start. So it's about football talk. And if you enjoy what we do, it would be appreciated. Rate, review, subscribe, YouTube, leave us a like, leave us a comment. It genuinely helps us out the way the algorithms work.
Little extra thunder with that intro. That sounds like someone who won a Packer bet last night.
Sure does. I'm starting the week 1-0. It's a great place to be.
Same here.
Dude, I'm
under by the skin of my teeth. It needed 28.5 points to go over, and they almost got there last night in the fourth quarter.
I am fucking crushing the National Football League out of the gate.
Good for
9-3. 9-3 betting the league. Here's the deal. We got a lot of picks to get to. We're going to talk about every game on the slate. And I am like a rabid animal.
I feel like I'm going to the rodeo today. I got to rein you in.
Yes.
Got to make sure you're a little more disciplined. Got to hold you back.
I need you. Like, if I get a little too out of bounds with the number of plays that I want to have, you are like Lamar Jackson. Just shove me back into reality. Give me a nice push back into reality.
Just got to bring my lasso today.
I am glad Lamar's not being punished, by the way.
Yeah, no, that was bullshit what happened on Sunday
night. It was ridiculous.
Night. Don't touch the players.
I agree, 100%.
It's the epitome of, like, talk shit, get hit. Like,
yep.
That right there. He went out and he hit DeAndre Hopkins, and Lamar was just standing up for his guy.
As you touch
a player, like, it's going to come back to you.
As the kids like to say, FAFO, fuck around and find out. That fam found out.
I'm not one for the old Hammurabi's code, an eye for an eye, but, like, when it's docile like that, let it happen. It's fine.
Okay. With that all said, out of the gate, let's get to the games.
Let's do it.
We're going to start at noon on Sunday with the local game. We're going to start with the game of highest intrigue for Chicago fans. Bears go on the road to the Lions, and the Lions are 6.5-point favorites. The total's 46.5. I'll just say, I think there's one way to bet it. It's a bet I'm going to make, but I kind of want to see where this number goes, because if a 7 pops, I will very gladly take it. I'm going to bet the Bears. I want to see where the final number lands.
I can't imagine it gets to 7.
I can't either.
I think if you're seeing 6.5, you're getting the best of the number here. And I'm with you. I like the Bears in this game. I think they've got a chance to outright win the game. It's going to be tough. Ford Field. But Detroit did not inspire any confidence after what they did on Sunday. Now, albeit against a Packer team that, well, we've learned through 2 weeks, may be the best in football, if not one of the three best in football, based off of what they can do defensively, how they can make you uncomfortable. But my biggest takeaway from this is, I think it's not even a takeaway, it's more of a prediction, but I just think the coaching shuffle is heavy advantage Bears. Ben Johnson knows how to make Jared Goff uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. He was his coach for a number of years. He knows what works for him. He knows what doesn't work for him. I think he's going to be a focal part of the game plan in terms of helping Dennis Allen make Jared Goff uncomfortable.
Sure.
And that's going to be the biggest thing in this game. And I don't think I would be picking the Bears this week if I didn't see what I saw last week out of Dio Odengbo. Because what he did in terms of creating pressure, making J.J. McCarthy uncomfortable, now you've got a chance to do a lot of the same, and this is not nearly a guy with the mobility that J.J.'s got.
I'd also say, like, early in the game, Javon Dexter was playing pretty well, and that was against Ryan Kelly and Will Freeze, who, they're in a new line, but they played together.
Yeah.
It was a good interior that the Vikings had. The Lions don't have that. And, like, look, there are red flags on this play. One, the Bears are a slightly public side with a really terrible cash differential. That's automatically a place I don't want to be. Two, the Bears are a public side and the numbers moved against them. It's, like, two things that very usually I would be totally out on. My thing is, on the football field, I just don't think the Lions are all that good.
No.
The interior of their offensive line is bad, and I don't believe that it's fixable. It's just Graham Glasgow is what, 32? He's very long in the tooth, and he was not playing center for the last couple of years. Now you have him playing center when you didn't want him to because you drafted Tate Ratledge, the rookie, to play center, but his reps went so poorly, you had to put him at guard, and he played really, really poorly against Green Bay. I think that's a problem. Second problem, Vikings had a great defensive line. They were able to stuff the run. They were able to get after Caleb and pressure him. They weren't able to get him down. Lions have one dude, Aiden Hutchinson, and a bunch of bodies. Like Marcus Davenport doesn't put fear in me. The middle of their defense puts no fear in me. Aleem McNeil's dead. You've got a rookie on the in the middle, like anchoring everything. I don't like the personnel that the Lions are going to throw here, and I think they'll struggle to replicate the things that the Vikings did to steady the ship when they were down early 17-6. Think about, it wasn't J.J. McCarthy zipping the ball all over the field.
No.
It was Jordan Mason and Aaron Jones finally getting active and steadying the ship a little bit so the play action would work and J.J. had easier opportunities to get the ball into somebody's hands. I don't know that the Lions can effectively run the football. They had Gibbs go for 2.5 yards of carry in Green Bay.
Yeah.
10 catches, 30 yards. Like, I don't know if the issues that they have are fixable. And I think it's a little wild to be flipping damn near a touchdown. I think this is a number that reflects who the Lions were a year ago and not who the Lions are right now.
Ooh, a little bit of Bears breaking news, too. That is intriguing to us.
Go ahead.
Bears are signing Jake Moody to the practice squad.
Beautiful.
So I wonder if he gets the bump up.
Beautiful. R.I.P. Cairo.
People forget, Jake Moody has the longest field goal in Super Bowl history.
Yep.
I mean, you're talking about a big leg here.
Yeah, and he was great at Michigan. And you've brought it up. There's reclamation kickers all over the league.
Yeah.
Guys who were high draft picks that didn't work out. Chad Ryland's the big one. The Patriots cut him after his rookie season. Belichick traded up to get a kicker in the fourth round. Chad Ryland. He was so bad, the Patriots cut him after his rookie year. All he's done is make a home for himself in Arizona, where he's been really impactful. So there's a history of this happening with a change of scenery. Bears might be able to make this work. Cairo obviously will be the kicker on Sunday, which is fine.
Will he?
Maybe. I mean, maybe they just fire drill Jake Moody up. But look, even if it is Cairo, it's indoors.
It's indoors.
It's a dome.
Yeah.
You're on a turf. Like, this situation's a little easier. Going back to the line, I think the Lions are being lined at what they were a year ago and what the perception is around them, and I don't believe that they're that team anymore. I'll be the first off the Lions bus this year, and if I'm late to the or if I'm early to the party, so be it. But I'm gonna take it a little easy, laying a touchdown with them.
Here's my biggest Bears concern for this week is playing in Ford Field. It will maybe be the most hostile football environment we see all year.
Yep.
Because the boos are going to be raining down on Ben Johnson. Those fans do not like Ben Johnson.
Yeah,
and
it's a madhouse to begin with.
Yes, it's already one of the best environments when it's bumping in football. And then you add the element of this is your enemy coming home now. And I just think that when you have that crowd noise, and you've got a Bears team that was penalized 12 times for 127 yards last week.
Mm-hmm.
When you've got an offensive line as undisciplined as what this group was in terms of pre-snap stuff, formation, and procedural penalties, that's a recipe for disaster. You could be looking at a lot of first and 15s,
yeah.
Second and 15s, second and 20s. And if the Bears dig themselves into that hole, then they're going to have problems offensively. It almost makes me lean towards the under, that it may be a little difficult because I'm not bought in on what this Detroit offense is. I get that they went up against Green Bay, who might be the best defense in football, but I also think that the Bears are going to be one of the better defenses in football. I mean, sure, they collapsed in the fourth quarter last week.
They were gassed.
But they were so good quarters 1 through 3.
It was incredible. And without key players on the defense to be as good as they were for 3 quarters. And look, the fourth quarter, you run out of gas. Your offense has given you nothing but 3 and outs or 5 plays, and they're back on the sideline. You are going to run out of gas as a defense doing that.
You know what the biggest takeaway that I saw from the defense last week was? I was thoroughly impressed by the tackling.
Yeah.
I like... Noah Sewell came in and stepped up. And I think when you go up against this Detroit team who has so much speed, so many guys that are good in space, obviously you've got the backfield with Gibbs, who's the flash, and then you've got Monty, who's going to finish runs.
Yep.
Tackling's going to be paramount.
Yeah.
And getting TJ Edwards back is huge. And finding a guy that I think you can trust in Noah Sewell to wrap guys up, that's a big... A big revelation for this Bears defense.
Yeah, and Jalen Johnson will be back. Who knows if Kyler Gordon's going to go, but I think they might have fallen into something. Like, Nashon Wright's not a great player. It was a little up and down, but the ups were really good on Monday night. So you just wonder if they fell into something a little bit. I think the under's a good play. I'm not going to play any totals this week, but I think the under's the right side if you had to play one. Anything else before we move on and we'll get to the rest of the slate? I wanted to spend a little more time with this game, obviously, because it's local intrigue and because I have a really strong feeling. Like, I'll tell you, the take that I really came away with, I don't even know if I'd call it a take, but it was just thinking about this yesterday and kind of doing all the handicapping of it. If this quarterback is 70% of who we and the Bears believe he is, and I mean Caleb, obviously, you go in there and you win.
Yeah.
I really feel like that.
Like, he missed some very timely throws last week. All he had to do was hit one or two of the four, and the Bears probably win the game.
Yeah, I think if we're talking about a loss on Monday, maybe there's a world where this isn't the case, but I just really, as I went through everything, if we are talking about a loss on Monday, I think it'll be because the quarterback wasn't good enough. And whatever, if I lose a bet because of that, then I'll be the kid that touched the stove and burned his hand again. But I refuse to believe he can be as bad as he was on simple throws on Monday night. And I kind of have a feeling Ben Johnson got in the film room with him. It's a little easier to teach when you have actual game tape to show him. I'm hoping on a bounce back. I'm going to play it. It's really the only solid play I have right now. There's other games I want to play. But now, Tyler, it's your job to talk me into and out of stuff.
Let's do it.
All right, Jags-Cincy.
I know I'm not talking you out of this one.
I would love to be on the Jacksonville Jaguars side here.
And I will co-sign that with you, my friend.
Bang. All right,
Jags
it's in.
Plus 3.5. Listen, that defense stood up against a Carolina team last week that I think both you and I think is not as good as what the outcome, or is better than what the outcome showed last week.
Bryce has to be better than he was. But
yeah, but I think Jacksonville has the pass rushers to make Burrow's life miserable.
I think pretty much every team in football does. I like absolutely nothing about the Cincinnati Bengals. Nothing. Mm-hmm. And I know we talked about it in our division previews, but like, are we ever going to talk about the fact that Joe Burrow takes some of the same horrific sacks that guys like Russell Wilson take, that guys like Caleb Williams take? And I'm not sitting here and saying he's bad by any stretch. Joe Burrow's a fabulous player, but he takes awful sacks.
We saw in the preseason.
Yep. He does the same loop-the-loop nonsense. He takes terrible sacks.
But he doesn't have the getaway that some of these other guys do.
No. And look, man, their offensive line is atrocious. Their defense, we know how bad it is. And they mistreated their best player all offseason. I hate that. Oh, by the way, they got rid of their defensive coordinator, who was fantastic, and just gave up damn near 350 yards to the Browns.
Yeah.
I like nothing about this Cincinnati team. They were fortunate to win against Cleveland. I actually think they're going to just straight up lose this game.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think, remember last week, Cleveland could not really run the ball, but they were able to get Dylan Sampson involved in the pass game. This Jacksonville offense ran for 200 yards last week. And if they have any they can be three quarters or even like, if they run for a buck 25 on the ground, I think they beat Cincy.
I agree. Anything on the total?
49.5, big number. I'd probably lean under.
Yeah, I mean, it's the NFL. I'm always going to lean under. Yeah,
especially on a number like that where you're talking about 7 touchdowns worth of points. But I'd lean under, but I'm staying away.
All right. Let's move on to New England and Miami in the toilet bowl. This is disgusting. Spend zero time on Sunday watching it. But tell me why I don't just bet New England plus 1.5.
I actually like the other side here.
Really?
Yeah. It's listen.
Players only meeting after
week 1. I'm telling you this, though. Look at the rosters side for side. Miami's the better roster.
I know.
They're at home. You've got New England baking in the sun down there.
But like, that was true last week. You put the rosters side by side.
But you're on the road. Like, a little bit different, I think. New England's coming off of a bad loss. I get that some people are trying to pump up what Vegas can be this year. That's a bad loss. Having them go west to east It was bad. And I just think that this Miami team, listen, I don't think they're great by any stretch of the imagination.
Right, you know what? Fuck you. We're going head to head. I'm betting the Patriots.
It's the fandom.
You're betting the Dolphins. No, it's just, I said I think the Dolphins are the worst team in football preseason. I hated everything about it. I hated who the fuck was the guy that's like, oh, the practice is too physical for
Aaron
us,
Brewer.
All these tryhards. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now you have a players-only meeting after week fucking one when you got blown out by the fucking Colts, and I'm supposed to lay points with you at home against New England, a team I actually liked despite myself a little bit preseason, and maybe the Raiders are not awful. Like, I'm sorry, man. I think the Dolphins are a fucking train wreck, and I'm going to fade them, and if I get bit, I get bit. But I'm going head-to-head with you.
All right. Listen, I just think Miami, more talented roster, better skill. The coaching advantage, I think it's kind of a wash at this point. You don't really know what Vrabel's got on that side with this New England team, and McDaniel hasn't been great. Quarterback, like, I'm taking Tua. It's not something I feel great about, but he is the better quarterback in this matchup. And you've got one of the better September home field advantages right now in Miami with that sun baking down on
boys
from the Northeast. So
I just hate them. I think there's quitting them. I'm going to bank on there being quitting them.
Okay.
I think they're going to lay down on this coach of theirs. I think they hate him. All right. San Francisco, New Orleans. There is only one way to bet this game, but I think you got to be cracked in the fucking head to put American dollars on it. You would have to bet the Niners laying 3.
Yeah.
But if you're going to walk into a game knowing you've got Mac Jones and a brand new kicker going into fucking New Orleans, and you're laying 3 points with that, I think you're out of your mind.
I think Mac Jones is going to operate this offense pretty well.
I kind of do too, but am I going to lay 3 points on the road with it?
It's tough, especially because you're going to New Orleans. Like, Mercedes-Benz, not an easy place to play, no matter how good or bad the Saints are.
I'll tell you what, 28% of the bets make up 57% of the money on the Niners. It is one of those sharp things, too. Like, this is a classic sharp move. The starting quarterback's hurt, so everybody assumes you just take the other side against the value. Usually that's not true. Like, I actually really like to bet backup quarterbacks a lot.
We made some money off of Mac Jones last year with Jacksonville.
Like, true.
Mac Jones has some solid games in Jacksonville last year.
Are you about to talk me into Niners laying 3?
I'm staying away. If this were at home, I'd probably look more towards the Mac Jones side of things and be more invested in Cincy. But go on the road, the West to East. I'm staying away right now, but if I had to pick a side, it would be San Francisco.
Yeah, it's the only way I'd bet it. It's just, look, I watched Mac Jones up close, what was it now, 4 years ago? Fuck that guy. Like, I don't need to be betting money
on
him.
His rookie year was good.
Yeah,
And I think you're going to see more of these next, like, 3-4 weeks. I think you're going to see some of the good Mac Jones rookie year type stuff.
Is Mac Jones the next former first-round pick reclamation project?
You know, it's a guy that I've had my eye on.
Is he Ben Johnson's next quarterback?
Oh, boy. Let's not get that far ahead of ourselves here. But no, I think he could be that next guy. Like, he's had a good season in the NFL. That's the thing.
Yeah, and I've always kind of thought he got an unfair rap. Like, his rookie year, he was good. It was under Josh McDaniels. His second season, Josh McDaniels takes the Denver job, and they go Matt Patricia, the DC, as his OC, and they just burned him up.
Yeah.
And pretty clearly it was like the relationship had fractured by the start of year 3, and they moved on from him where he was a backup in Jacksonville, but we did win some money that first game. The Mac attack was on.
Yeah.
Now we get the Mac attack back. Return of the Mac.
Mm-hmm.
I got to stop myself because I'm about to just lay 3 with the Niners and Mac
Let's
Jones.
Move on. Next game, AFC North, go.
Browns, Ravens. Browns are getting 11.5 points on the road in Baltimore. Look, it's Baltimore pass, but if you think I'm laying double digits in week 2, you're out of your goddamn mind. And that's really all I got for you.
Yeah, no, actually, I would go it's Cleveland or pass.
Really?
But I'm passing. Like, it's a play I would have very little confidence in. Like, if I had to confidence rank the 15 games, this might be 15.
Yeah.
I guess it would be my 1 point play. 11.5, double digits, divisional game, too. There's just nothing intriguing about this. But Baltimore can look at what happened last week and say, like, hey, that's a real punch-in-the-mouth game. We're going to go beat the shit out of the team that's next on our schedule. And we've seen them do it before, but I'm staying away.
All right, Giants-Cowboys. Giants are getting 5 on the road, and this is the point of the board where I just want to bet everything. I don't like the rest of these games. I love them. I want to bet all of them. Mm-hmm. I need you to be my friend here. And stop me from betting on Russell Wilson for a second consecutive week with American dollars.
Can I give you this? This was one of the biggest stat takeaways I took from the Dallas Eagles game. First of all, you got Dallas coming in on a long week right out of the chute, which I think is very beneficial after week one. And then two, Dak did not get sacked against Philadelphia last week.
Yeah, it's an interesting point.
Talk about this Giants off or defensive line, I think a lot of this it has more star power than Philly's does last year or this year. And we talked about Philly's defensive line last year as being one of the best that we've seen in recent memory. So I'm staying away from this game. I just think that the divisional game, I can't get involved in the Giants right now. Like, I've been burned by them. And I just want to be in wait and see mode. With them is I've got the win total over on them.
I'm telling you something right now. If at any point in this game Jackson Dart enters, I am live betting the Giants.
And that's be my guess. At that point, I would greenlight you.
Okay, deal.
But that's not our preseason or that's not our pregame status report right now.
All right, I have to be a friend to you now because we have to do something together. We got to return to the well with an old friend, Tyler. We got to bet Justin Fields.
Yes!
We got to play +6.5 with the New York Football Jets. Now. We got to bet Justin Fields.
Have you seen what the Jets' track record against the Bills has been at home the last 3 years?
Yeah, they own them.
They're 2-1, and their only loss came by 3 points. And this is probably the best iteration of the Jets that we've seen the last 4 years now.
100%. And I think the Buffalo defense is really bad.
It's bad. And you know what's funny is the Jets' offense almost reminds me of Bills light. Ravens light.
Sure, okay.
You've got Justin Fields at quarterback, a guy who's got mobility. Lamar Jackson ran for 70 yards last week. You got big physical back in Braylon Allen, but you also have Breece Hall, who's the more talented back and ran wild last week. And you could, whatever you did to the Steelers last week, you can do again to the Bills this week. Derrick Henry ran for almost 170 yards. Like this, this offense ran for like 250 yards last week.
It's also, I get a big dog at home in the division.
Yeah.
I think there's a couple keys here where, like, look, yeah, it's a public side, but I'm okay with the public on this one. They got to win sometimes. I'll take the division home dog. Also, I just think, like, can we say that Justin Fields is on track to be another one of these former first-round reclamation guys? You got him, Tanner Engstrom, the guy from Detroit, Ben Johnson's sidekick all those years with the Lions. He's with a familiar coaching staff. He's with Aaron Glenn. Maybe they have the ability to unlock him a little bit. And it's not like this Jet team is totally bereft of talent. Their offensive line is bad, but their quarterback can evade a lot of that pressure. Mm-hmm. And we saw it here in Chicago firsthand. He has the ability to get out of those scenarios, and they won't ask him to do too much. The presence of Breece Hall, the presence of Braylon Allen, it helps him out. It takes pressure off him. And Garrett Wilson, can I say comfortably, he's the best receiver that Justin Fields has ever thrown the ball to.
For sure.
And they know each other from college. Like, this all just kind of makes sense on the Justin Fields side of things. Where I'm getting a touchdown basically at home with a division dog, I'll take it.
Yeah.
I don't trust Buffalo's defense enough to win by 7 points.
And listen, even if Buffalo gets out to a big lead, 6.5 is still a big enough number where you can go through the back door late against this Buffalo defense.
Yep.
And it's something, I mean, we've seen garbage time Fields put up some of those stats before.
All right. Seahawks Steelers.
I like nothing here. I tried to find something. I did some digging, and it was just like nothing stood out to me. So I'm like, you know what? Stay away.
I kind of want to bet under 39.5. Again, the lowest number on the board. But I'm not like running to do it. The thing I wanted to do with the side was, on one hand, I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities where the Steelers are favored and shouldn't be, that you're going to find chances to fade them. Last week was one of them. Jets were one of my favorite plays of the week. That was a never-in-doubt winner. This is maybe another one of those spots where should they really be flipping a field goal to Seattle? The flip side of it is I fucking hate Seattle. I like nothing they did this offseason. Their offensive line is terrible. I don't think that travels well for you when you're still taking Sam Darnold outside. And you've got T.J. Watt on the other side with a quarterback who holds the ball too long. Like, I can't get behind it on Seattle. I can't get behind it on Pittsburgh. I'd like to bet the under because I think both teams are going to have a really difficult time scoring. But what if Reek Woolen just decides to fuck me on it and give up a late touchdown again? So I'm good on nothing.
Yeah, pass it.
Rams, Titans.
Again, another one of these games. I tried to find something and there was nothing I liked.
Can I talk you into Rams -5.5?
You can try. But
I think, look, Cam Ward played really well against Denver, I thought. And receivers let him down, dropping really nice passes. He made great reads. His pocket presence looked beyond a rookie in his debut. But he got rocked a lot by the Denver defense. And the Rams are going to offer that same thing. It's Braden Fisk. It's Jared Verse. It's a group of pass rushers that will get home. The secondary is a lot better than people give it credit for. I think it's one of the most undervalued defenses in the league. And the Titans defense does not present the stiffness that Texans did. Like, if you look at the Rams and go, well, they only scored 14 points, I would look more at the process where Stafford completed about 70% of his passes for 250 yards, and his back looks just fucking fine. I think they walk in there and roll Tennessee.
It's just in that kind of, well, if you think they're going to roll, then the fact that it's under a touchdown means nothing.
Right.
I can't get there with LA going on the road. Like, don't the Rams usually have like a weird, like early season, not even like loss, but just a weird early season performance sometimes too?
Past couple years, yeah. But I mean, I think this is the best roster they've had since they won the Super Bowl. And that year they were just a wire-to-wire juggernaut. Like, they were a machine, despite Stafford throwing bad picks. I think Stafford, honestly, assuming he's healthy, he's probably a better player than he was then. He's really improved. It's weird that you say it at the age that he's at, but he has really improved with the ball security and a lot of the ball placement stuff the last couple seasons.
He had that one throw last week that was just disgusting.
Yeah, he's a...
look over the middle.
He's earned me as a... And I was a denier of him for a long time. I am an enormous respecter of Matthew
Hall
Stafford
Famer.
At this point. Now listen, we win another one and surefire. But until then, we'll see. Look, man, I am old school with it. You can't be a zero-time All-Pro. You can't be a zero-time MVP. And you can't have only one Super Bowl and be a Hall of Fame quarterback. Okay. It can't happen. You got to have two of the three.
Okay.
Or multiple Super Bowls. And even in the case of Eli, who has two, I still don't know that he's a Hall of Famer. No MVP votes, no All-Pro selections. It's tough. So I'm kind of out on Stafford for Hall of Fame right now. But if he won MVP this year or they won the Super Bowl, I could get there. All right, good?
Yep.
Denver, Indy. Gross, gross game.
Yeah.
I think if you're playing it, you have to bet Denver. I think there's a huge overreaction to what Indy did to Miami, and I think there's a huge overreaction to how bad Denver's offense looked.
Yeah. I would lean the Denver side here. I look at the, I just think Denver's defense gets right. Against this Colts team, we'll see what it looks like. They lost a couple pieces off of the offensive line from the offseason, but I'd lean Denver. I just think Denver probably gets to the quarterback a little bit more. Like, they got to Cam Ward a little bit, but it was more hits than sacks, it felt like. I think this time around, they get Daniel Jones to the ground.
I am playing less than I thought I would, so I think I'm going to uncork a Denver play. I think this is valuable. Right. I think this should be 3.5 or 4. The fact that it's 1.5, the Colts suck. The Colts suck.
I think they're bad, but I think the Steichen and Daniel Jones thing, I'm not saying it's like, oh, the new KOC and Darnold, but I think it could be closer to that than people think.
Maybe it is. I'm going to fly into the sun and bet Denver. I just think there's a massive overreaction to what Indianapolis did to a Dolphins team I don't respect at all. All right, 3 o'clock slate. We are already in it, actually, because that's a 3 o'clock game. But Carolina travels to Arizona. I know we both like the Panthers, man. Mm-hmm. I know.
But we both like the Cardinals, too.
And I think we got to bet the Cardinals.
I'm passing on this. I don't think Carolina's as bad as they showed in week one. I agree.
And I think it's a little crazy.
Going on the road is a lot, but when you're talking about a near touchdown number here, it just makes me want to stay away.
The thing that's crazy to me, though, is like everybody is on the Panthers. Why? And that makes me want to be on the Cardinals.
I think it's just.
And I get inside at full touchdown. I get the hook on it. I'll see how many of the rest of the games I play, and maybe I'll come back to it.
Okay.
But if you're not in on it, then I'm good. Okay. I have a feeling we're going head to head on Sunday night. America's Game of the Week.
How did this not land Sunday Night Football? When's the last time a Super Bowl rematch has not been Sunday Night Football?
Couldn't tell you. And I'll tell you, it's better than the Sunday night game. But, Philly at KC. And Tom Brady on the scene for everybody's enjoyment. Eagles are laying 1.5. Now, typically, I would do what I imagine you are going to do and fly blind into the trend that is Mahomes as a dog is 15-2 against the spread. He's only been a dog at home a single time. There's one big issue. Fucking everybody is betting the Chiefs here.
Yeah.
And if I just look at the football side of things, what is there about the Chiefs that inspires any level of confidence in them this season? Like, what is it?
Well, Travis Kelce did have a chunk play for a touchdown, like an explosive play for a touchdown last week. I don't think a lot of people had that on their bingo card week one, at least that have watched Travis Kelce. I will say this, and I'm not betting a side in this game. I'm betting a total. But the one thing that I think is interesting, and I'd have to go back and look, but in all of these Patrick Mahomes as a dog starts, hasn't the public been on the Chiefs in a lot of them? I feel like the Chiefs have been very public in these underdog spots and outright won.
It's also one of those things where the Chiefs are always public, so you have to take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
People like to bet on them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. It's like, I want to say what I saw from the Eagles defense was diminished. But then again, Jalen Carter spit on Dak. And so how much of your performance up front can I really take as true against Dallas? Jalen Carter will be back for this game. Mm-hmm. He's not getting suspended. I assume he's not going to start the game by spitting on Patrick Mahomes. I think the Eagles are a much more talented team. I think we saw this play out in the Super Bowl when the point spread was the same and everybody decided to go with the Chiefs. And we all watched the Eagles just drop a fucking bomb on them. Sirianni's been in this spot before. He went to Kansas City and won.
Yeah.
I think it's an Eagles play.
I would lean the Eagles side here. I'm going under 46.5. I think people saw the offensive fireworks from Philadelphia in the Super Bowl last year. And obviously, just Super Bowl rematch, people are going to want to go over. I think you zag when everyone zigs here. And what is A.J. Brown? Is this going to be a force-feed A.J. Brown game that lands you in a little bit of trouble because you keep trying to force the issue with him? I can't really take all that much from a game, too, that was played in Brazil week one from Kansas City. It's just weird.
We can take that they have to travel back from Brazil.
But that was on Friday.
I know, but I'm just making a point.
And you're not changing time zones.
The Eagles played on Thursday, and all they had to do was like go back to their homes and then load up on a regular flight to Kansas City.
Yeah.
Kansas City had to travel home from fucking Brazil.
Yeah,
like there is a stark travel difference.
But it's to me, that's just how long you're sitting on a plane. It's not.
That's fine.
You're not going to London where you got to recalibrate your body clock.
I'm also not hinging my cap on it. Like my cap is more Xavier Worthy's maybe dead.
Mm-hmm.
Like getting evaluated. Rashee Rice will not play. He's suspended. Yeah. Travis Kelce had one big play last week, but for the most part looked slow again. I think their offensive line has had a ton of attrition. And I don't know that they can make up for it. Mahomes did not look great. They couldn't run the ball with Isaiah Pacheco. And I'm supposed to just walk into this and go, oh, golly gee, Mahomes a dog again. You got to play it. No, I'm good. I'll play the Eagles. And if I lose, I lose. It is what it is.
I'm intrigued to see what Arrowhead looks like this week.
I think it's going to be a little nervous for the first time.
You think so?
Yeah, I do, man. Like, look, I know that I've written the death note on the Chiefs dynasty the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it kind of feel like this year, yeah, a lot more people are jumping onto it, but it also feels a lot more tangible. They are not what they have been. just on a roster standpoint. And this is the reality of being capped out because you're paying your tight end so much and you're paying your quarterback so much.
Chris Jones.
It like
didn't they just get some money too?
I'm not saying that they're going to be done forever, but this does kind of – I thought this could be the year where they bounce back and are great. And maybe when Rashee Rice is healthy, they'll get some of the explosiveness back. But right now, dude, there is not a lot inspiring here.
No, I really think Kansas City's honestly just like a receiver away. But there's definitely some early season hiccups that they got to work through. I think seeing Travis Kelce play the way he did in Brazil, I know he had the drop, but like, and he took out Xavier Worthy, a little friendly fire, but I think he's looked better than he has out of the chute than he has in years past.
All right, we'll see. Sunday Night Football, Falcons, Vikings. I was very close to making the Falcons a quad bomb.
I love the Falcons this week.
I do too. I'm all over it. I think the idea that J.J. McCarthy off of one start is laying north of a field goal against a good defense is crazy. And Michael Penix, I could make the argument Penix played better against Tampa than J.J. did against the Bears.
I think that is a factual statement.
And I think nobody's talking about that. I think all anybody wants to talk about is Atlanta lost and Younghoe Koo missed the field goal and they couldn't pay off the drive at the end and their defense got walked down by Baker. Dude, I love the Falcons here.
I do too. I mean, you get the right side of a field goal here. You're inside just like how the Falcons are used to. I get the noises going the other way now, but my biggest thing is the Falcons are going to run the ball way better than the Bears did.
Yeah.
And if the Bears ran the ball with any degree of success last week, they win that football game comfortably. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have Bijan and that offensive line who has a ton of continuity to it. And I get Drake London may not play in this game. We'll see what happens with that shoulder. But you know who is a real player now? Kyle Pitts.
Yeah.
And maybe you get Darnell Mooney back this week, too. He was a game-time decision last week. Like, I just think this Falcons team offensively is built to beat this Vikings defense.
I agree.
I think it is built very, very perfectly to beat the Vikings.
I just need one favor from the Falcons. Stop fucking going to Tyler Allgeier in the red zone. You're on the goddamn goal line, and Bijan Robinson is your running back. Stop giving the ball to Tyler Allgeier.
I love how many times Bijan, I like to call it the collegiate goal line touchdown, because in college, when you're at the goal line, you see these running backs get into the end zone standing up. In the NFL, you're always going to the ground on a 1-2 yard touchdown. Bijan is not that. He has the collegiate touchdown where he gets in from inside of 5 yards standing up. Every single time.
He's incredible. All right, Monday Night Football, a double header.
Your favorite.
My favorite.
The OG double headers, too. We're tapping into nostalgia this week.
I will say I actually like this setup. You kick one off at 6, you kick the next one off at 9. You don't do any of that simultaneous bullshit where you've got one game on ESPN2 because we're kicking it at 7:30 while the other game's at halftime. No.
I kind of like that. You know what?
I'm not
this a fan. This is a weird sports fan thing that I'm going to unveil about myself to you. I love the early season Florida Lightning delays because it staggers one of the games. So like at the kickoff of the 3 o'clock games, you still got one game that's like in the third quarter.
Yeah, you've got issues. I mean, you've got issues. No, I don't like the simultaneous thing. I think Monday night primetime, you want to watch one game. You want to sit down and enjoy it. And if you got a doubleheader, at least they're separated, so I can watch one game and then the next one. But the reality for me is I wake up at 3:30 in the morning for Cap'n Hood. I am not going to stay up and watch Chargers Raiders.
Are you going to Zero Dark 30 it?
What do you like not pay any attention to it and then
watch it on your way in?
No. Oh, God, no. No.
Watch the condensed game on the way in.
I know, but what I'm probably going to end up doing is I'll just, on my way in, look at whatever the stats I need to know are, whatever happened in the game. We're not even really going to talk about it. It's a Bears Monday.
No, it'd be a Tuesday.
And then, what do you mean? Oh, shit, it is a Tuesday. Good point. Well, my thought was I'll rewatch it when I get home on Tuesday.
I think you Zero Dark 30 it. Have some fresh takes.
And watch the condensed game on the way.
On your bus ride
in. This is actually a pretty good idea. You know what? That might be the way I play it.
Love it.
Okay, let's go Bucks Houston off the top.
All right.
I'm worried I'm wrong here, and it's up to you to tell me I am.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really, really want to bet Tampa Bay.
I know you do. I'm passing on this game. Houston's defense was awesome last week, and I just think that the Bucs are a not as good version of the Rams. You get Houston back at home now, lick their wounds a little bit, and I don't like Tampa's defensive attack getting after CJ Stroud is not nearly what you're going to have with that Rams defense.
That's fair. I just, the offensive line for Houston's terrible. Laying points with them feels trappy. The numbers set in a spot where it's like, ooh, here, it's like free. You get them inside a field goal, right? Better team, right? Like, I think they're begging you to bet Houston, and I'd like to be on the Tampa side, but I ultimately think you're right. I don't need a play here, especially since I have Chex Notes 7 bets already on the NFL. Okay, Chargers-Raiders. Final game of the slate. Chargers laying 3.5.
I like under 46.5. Divisional game. I mean, I feel like we got this Monday night matchup every single week one to start the season in that second game. It's just AFC West, classic matchup here.
Ooh.
But to get into the football side of things here.
There are threes popping up, by the way.
Hmm.
At three, I'm betting the Chargers. Go ahead.
Okay. One thing the Chiefs did do on the ground last week, they averaged over 5 yards a carry against the Chargers. So now you bring in Ashton Jeanty, who I think is better than any of the backs that the Chiefs have. You got a divisional game. If Vegas can shrink this game down and run the football effectively, I don't see how either team's getting to 46.5. And Vegas has pass rushers, too. Like, they could get after Herbert, especially when you know they're going to be out Rashawn Slater in this game. You line up Max Crosby on that other side against a backup, and you could make life hell for Justin Herbert for 60 minutes.
I really would like to bet the Chargers because this is like theme of the week for me. Don't overreact to week one. I think the Raiders might be decent. I don't think they are good. The Chargers, I thought preseason, were fantastic. Mm-hmm. And they kind of validated how I felt about them in week one against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I also thought it was fascinating that they went from like this pro-style college Michigan offense where they just pounded the ball last year to like a 10 personnel game where they just aired it out with Herbert and unleashed Justin Herbert as a runner.
Yeah.
I think that kind of spells what they're going to be going forward. This is going to be a really fun offense. I get it's on the road at Allegiant. But I really like the Chargers. I'm not going to play it if it's 3.5, but if it's 3 or, God willing, a 2.5 pops at some point this weekend. I've
seen that number.
I'm jumping on the Chargers.
Okay.
And that's the way I'll put it.
Listen, I like this Chargers team. I just think this is a weird early season on the road. You know that Vegas crowd's going to be something, too. Like, Chargers fans aren't real. We'll see the Chargers plant there, but the Chargers lady. The plant that we talked about last week.
I can't stand her, dude. On the YouTube broadcast, standing there with her jersey on.
Yeah. Cuts from her to iShow Speed.
She is such a plant by the league. She doesn't seem real. iShow Speed. God. Oh, the Mr. Beast broadcast on YouTube. Like, what the fuck are we doing? At a certain point, what the fuck are we doing?
Football doesn't need to cater to anybody. Like, football's football. You don't need to like draw in the youth. They love football.
Here's Mr. Pragmatic. Thank you. I agree. Like, yeah. People will watch football whether Mr. Beast is on your YouTube broadcast or not.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that does it for me. I'm out of picks and we're out of games. So recap the board. I've got 7 plays.
I've got 7 as well.
Look at us. Simpatico on a NFL picks episode. Jets +6, Bears +6, Jags +3.5. Rams laying 5.5. Fuck you. Patriots +1.5. Eagles laying 1. Falcons +3.5. That's what I got. We'll see what happens. Maybe Monday morning I'll give you a couple.
We're going head to head in that New England Miami game. I like the Dolphins. Jaguars +3.5. I've got the Bears +6. I've got the Jets +6.5. Under 46.5 in Kansas City and Philly. Tailing you with you on the Falcons +3.5 against Minnesota, and then under 46.5 in the late Monday night game between the Chargers and the Raiders.
All right, that'll do it. Week 2 NFL in the books. Good luck, my friend.
That was good. That was a good like NFL lather right there.
Yeah, I felt good talking about a little NFL football. Week 2 is in the books. We'll have reaction pod for you, college and pro, coming on Monday, and then more picks later next week. We are in midseason form.
Yeah. It feels like we're in week 5, but we're only in week 2.
It's beautiful. Let's rock and roll. It's the Pick Aside Podcast.